With his horses tied in a pine grove, Frank huddled over a small fire, begging it to life by blowing on what little dry tinder he could find. Stump Creek lay before him, a name he supposed the stream earned due to the work of a beaver colony. All up and down the creek's banks, stumps from gnawed-down trees dotted the open spots. The clear creek still flowed with only a thin layer of ice on it. It was easy to break through to get enough water to fill his coffee pot. He poured a handful of scorched coffee beans into the pot and set it beside the building flames. Surrounding the fire pit with a few flat stones gave him a place to put his skillet full of fatback. If Tin Pan found his camp, it would be easy enough to rig a spit out of green pine limbs and skewer hunks of turkey onto sticks above the fire. Thinking about a good meal made him hurry. In a matter of minutes, the sweet aroma of boiling coffee filled the clearing in the pines. Frank warmed his hands over the flames, letting his thoughts drift back to Conrad and Ned Pine's gun slicks.
They better not have done any harm to my boy, or I'll make him die slow.
His saddle horse raised its head, looking east with its ears pricked forward.
That'll be the old mountain man.
Frank walked to the edge of the pine grove. An experienced mountain man, Tin Pan would be able to follow the scent of Frank's fire from miles away. Frank looked up at the darkening sky. Swirls of snowflakes fell on the pine limbs around him.
I'll need to rig my lean-to. No telling how much it'll snow tonight.
Frank buttoned his coat and turned up the collar. Then he picked up more dead pine limbs to add to the fire.
Hello, fire!
Come on in. Coffee's damn near done boiling.
Yeah, I smelled it half an hour ago, Morgan.
It would be good to have a bit of company tonight. He was sure the old man had a sack full of stories about these mountains. Maybe even some information about the hideout where Ned Pine was holding Conrad.
Oh! Damn, it's mighty good.
Tin Pan palmed a tin cup of coffee for its warmth, with two lumps of brown sugar to sweeten it.
I got plenty. Provisioned myself in Durango.
Tin Pan's wrinkled face looked older and light from the flames.
You know, I've been thinking.
About what?
Ned Pine, your boy, that hideout up in the canyon where you said they was hiding.
What about it?
It's mighty hard to get into that canyon without being seen. But you know the old Ute Trail.
Ute's cleared out of this country years ago after the army got after him.
That still don't keep a man from knowing the back way into that canyon.
There's a back way?
Uh-huh. Old game trail. When these mountains was full of buffalo, the herds used to come down to water in winter.
Can you tell me how to find it?
Tin Pan shook his head.
Oh, no, I'd have to show it to you. It's steep. A man who don't know it's there will ride right past it without seeing a thing.
Frank sipped scalding coffee, seated on his saddle blanket near the fire.
I don't suppose you'd have time to show me where it was.
Well, now I might. You know, you seem like a decent fella. You sure got your hands full trying to take on Ned Pine and his bunch.
I could pay you a little something for your time.
Tin Pan hoisted his cup of coffee.
Oh, this here cup of mud will be enough.
Then you'll show me the trail?
Come sunrise, take you right up to the top of that canyon. I got some traps I need to set anyhow.
I'd be real grateful. My boy is only 18. He won't stand a chance against Pine and his trash.
Now, don't get me wrong, Morgan. I ain't gonna help you fight that crowd, but I'll show you the way back down to the Florida Canyon. They won't be expecting you to slip up on them from behind.
I got an extra pound of coffee beans. It's yours if you'll show me the trail.
You just made yourself a trade, Mr. Morgan. A pound of coffee beans? Last me a month.
It's done, Tin Pan.
Frank felt better about things now.
I'm gonna pitch my lean-to while the fatback is cooking.
I'm gonna cut some green sticks for the hen I shot this morning. Man can't hardly ask for more than turkey and fatbacks, along with sweet coffee.
Sam signaled a halt.
Yonder's a fire. Maybe it's Charlie on his way back to the cabin after he ambushed that Morgan bastard.
Who the hell else would be out here?
Buster jerked his pistol free, his back to the heavy snowfall.
We gotta be sure, boys. I've heard stories about Morgan. He ain't no tinhorn, even if he's getting on in years. Let's ride up real careful, just to be on the safe side.
You worry too much. Charlie Bowers is as good as they come when a man needs killing. That's how come Ned sent him back to do the job. Charlie don't miss.
All the same.
Sam drew his own Colt 44.
All right, we'll ride up careful. No sense in taking any chances. Could even be some deer hunter or traveler. I suppose it pays to be cautious with Morgan following your tracks.
Remember what Ned told us. Frank Morgan is a killer. A professional shooter from way back. He may still have a lot of caution in him.
Ned's too worried about Morgan. Besides, he's just one man and there's three of us. You ain't giving Charlie enough credit. My money says he planted Morgan in a shallow grave by now.
We've got the wind at our backs. Let's ride around and come at him upwind, whoever the hell he is.
Sounds like a good idea. If it's Charlie camped down by that creek, we'll recognize him. If it's Morgan, we start shooting until that sumbitch is dead.
Morgan's already dead. The only thing worrying Ned is why Bowers didn't come back to the cabin by dark. Charlie knows his way around these mountains. Maybe all that happened was his stud went lame.
I don't like the looks of this, Sam. There's something about this that don't feel quite right.
You're a natural born worrier, Tony. If it is Frank Morgan down there by that fire, the three of us will kill him.
The gunslits rode south into the snowy night with guns drawn. Larger flakes of snow began falling. The howl of the squall winds echoed through the treetops around them.
Clarence Rushing is my full name.
Tin Pan poured himself another cup of coffee.
Yeah, I've been up in these mountains so long, the other gold pan has hung the Tin Pan handle on me. Suits me just fine.
I like Tin Pan. It's a hell of a lot easier on the ears.
Nah, name don't mean all that much anyhow. I went by Clarence Rushing for 30 years back in Indiana. I went to college for a spell. Tried to make my living as a printer, but I kept feeling this call to see the high lonesome. These mountains. And you know, a man ain't happy if he ain't where he feels he belongs. I came out here looking for gold with a sluice box and a tin miner's pan. A few miners took to calling me Tin Pan on account of how much time I spent panning these streams. Hell, I didn't mind the new handle. I reckon it suited me. Name's just a name anyhow.
You're right about that. Unless too many folks get a hankering to see it carved on a grave marker, then a name can mean trouble.
Why would anyone want your name on a headstone, Frank Morgan?
Frank looked up at the snowflakes swirling into the tiny pine grove where they were camped.
A few years back, I made my living with a gun. Never killed a man who didn't need killing, but a man in that profession gets a reputation. Sometimes it's one he doesn't deserve.
You was a gunfighter?
For a time. Gave it up years ago. Tried to live peaceful. Running a few cows, minded my own business on a little place down south.
Sounds like your past caught up to you if you're about to tangle with Ned Pine and his gang.
They took my son. Pine and an owl hoot named Victor Van Bergen set out to settle old scores against me.
Old scores, huh?
First thing they done was kill my wife. Only woman I ever loved. Then they found my boy in Durango and grabbed him for a ransom.
God damn, that's near about enough to send any man on the prowl.
I can't just sit by and let them get away with it. I'm gonna finish the business they started.
I heard about this Van Bergen. Word is he's got a dozen hard cases in his gang. They rob banks and trains. I didn't even know they was this far north.
They're here. I've trailed them a long way.
Look, Frank, have you gone plumb loco to set out after so many gun slicks?
Maybe. My mom always told me something wasn't right inside my head from the day I was born. She said I had my daddy's mean streak bred into me.
Yeah, well, a mean streak don't sound like enough to handle that many.
Maybe it ain't. But I damn sure intend to try. I won't let them hold my son for ransom without a fight.
Tin Pan stiffened, looking at his mule, then to the south and east.
Smother that fire, Morgan. We got company out there somewhere.
How can you tell?
Frank cupped hands full of snow onto the flames until the clearing was dark.
Martha.
Martha?
Martha's my mule. She ain't got them big ears on top of her head for decoration. She heard something just now that ain't no vomit. If I was you, I'll fetch my rifle.
Frank jumped up and ran over to his pile of gear to jerk his Winchester free. He glanced over his shoulder at the old mountain man.
I sure hope Martha knows what she's doing.
He hunkered down next to a pine trunk.
Oh, she does. I don't mule to save my scalp from a Ute knife plenty of times.
Tin Pan pulled his ancient Sharps 52 rifle from a deerskin boot decorated with Indian beadwork. The hunting rifle's barrel was half a yard longer than Frank's Winchester, giving it long range and deadly accuracy.
Utes are all south of here.
Frank watched the trees around them.
Yeah, they signed a treaty. I don't figure these are Utes. Maybe you're about to get introduced to some of Ned Pine's boys.
Frank wondered if Ned Pine sent some of his shooters back to look for Charles Bowers. If that was the case, it would give him a chance to change the long odds against him. It would make things easier. He crept into the trees, jacking a load into the firing chamber of his Winchester saddle gun.
Right yonder, in them pines. Only it looks like the fire just went out.
Maybe he heard us. Could be, Charlie. He'd be real careful if he heard a noise.
It'd be a hell of a thing if us and Charlie started shooting at each other in the dark.
Well, how the hell are we going to find out if it's him without getting our heads shot off?
I ain't got that figured yet. Let's move in a little closer.
I say we ought to spread out.
Good idea. Tony, you move off to the left a few dozen yards. Buster, you go to the right. Stay behind these trees until we know who it is.
Right.
Buster moved north with his rifle next to his shoulder. Tony slipped into a thicker stand of pines to the south of the grove where they'd spotted the flames. Sam inched forward, blinking away snowflakes getting in his eyes. He and his partners were coming upwind, and whoever was camped ahead of them wouldn't hear a sound they made. If it was Charles Bowers who made the campfire, Sam knew he would recognize his bay stallion tied in the trees before any shots were fired.